Today's a great day, isn't it? We want to pray for our country, and we will before we... I don't know who to ask to lead us in prayer for the country. Johnny, Andrew, or Brother Paul, like that tie. I'm sure they both have been praying for the country already. We'll see, but we belong to another kingdom too, a higher kingdom. We pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, but we swear allegiance true to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his purposes will not fail. Remember when my dear brother Ed Luton, he's one of my favorite missionaries. Well, I like most all the missionaries I've ever met. I don't think there's an exception to that. I don't know why I said most. But he's such a godly man, and his heart has been gripped with he often preaches about the kingdom of God when he comes our way. And he told me a few years ago how saddened he was to visit in Michigan, where his wife's family lives, go to church there, and everything was just... Now, we at this camp, we don't get me wrong, we believe in patriotism. We look around you, well, look around you outside anyway. Well, here too. But he said everything was, you know, Brother Bush and let's get them and all that, you know, just like I was saying the other day. And he was so sad with that. I mean, he meant in the church. It was so much politics and so much. He was so saddened. He said, we belong to a heavenly kingdom. We have a different citizenship. And as I was telling you, oh God, bless our brother Bush. We heard that he has the biggest bomb. We just heard about it. There's a new bomb that can just flush out these underground caves. Give him the courage to use it. Oh, give him, you know. Let's go get them. Anyway, it was just so much of that. Maybe you've heard that kind of stuff. Well, we do want to pray for our servicemen, and we do want to pray. We want to thank God for our freedoms, and we want to pray that God will bless our land. But we also want to remember that our responsibility as children of the Heavenly Father and citizens of the Heavenly Kingdom and those who follow the leader of our salvation, our responsibility in our land is great. It really is. I was going to take you to, but we'll do that later. Okay. No, we'll do it now. To Jeremiah 29. For just a few moments, I just want to point this out to you. We spoke about Isaiah last night and how he was prophesying the return from captivity, and so did Jeremiah. In fact, he wrote a letter to those who had been taken captive. He was in Jerusalem, and he wrote a letter to those who had been taken captive, and he said that it would be a 70-year captivity. And he said that it was all in God's hands. There were people that were prophesying, oh, no, 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 thus saith the Lord, he's going to set you free, he's going to bring you out of Babylon in no time. And Jeremiah said, no, 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 they're prophesying falsely. He said, God has good intentions over you. He's taken you there, allowed you to be carried away captive because of your sin. And he must chastise you and discipline you. But you know, you get the sense from this passage that it's like this. It's because of my purpose over my people. I'm not going to let you miss this period of my dealing with you. Of course it was a hard time. Of course they missed home. But he said here, well, he sent them a letter, and he said, it's going to be a long time. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. In other words, settle down in Babylon. You're going to be there a while. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Don't let your prophets prophesy to you falsely. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile, but not yet. It's all according to my timetable. It's really a wonderful story if you read this about the captivity and the exile and the return. It was all, you see, as you read, under God's plan and purpose, providence, appointment. He's God over all. And so they were told, even though you're not citizens of Babylon, settle down, find your place there, and seek the peace of Babylon. Seek its welfare. You know the story, perhaps you do, how God raised up his servant and anointed him. It was a pagan king that he raised up to carry out his purposes, Cyrus the Great. And it was after the 70 years that Cyrus the Great, his authority, came in and defeated Babylon. The great Babylonian Empire was defeated, and Cyrus the Great, his empire lasted till Alexander the Great. Some of you have studied those things and know them better than I. But he marched across the whole area there, and he took, everything fell before him, and so did Babylon. And when he came, he's the one that gave the command that they should go forth out of Babylon, go forth from this city. And he sent them back to Jerusalem. They were captive, but he said, okay, now's your time of release. I see in Cyrus, who's mentioned in that section of Isaiah that I referred to last night, a type of Christ, who's also a mighty conqueror, who is God's anointed, who proclaims for us and works for us redemption and release. And he says, go forth out of Babylon. But I guess that's for another day. What I want to bring up now is that God's people were supposed to be a blessing where they were. Babylon, it was doomed. So is our Babylon. This speaks of, you know, the Babylon of its day. Cyrus overcame it. But it typifies also the Babylon, our world system, which is passing away. You read about it in Revelation 18. You ever want to get a blessing? Take Revelation 18 and read it in the King James Version, if you like good language. Read it out loud. It is great. You see that tremendous triumph. Babylon the Great is fallen. That's what's going to happen. This world is passing away in the lust thereof. But those who swear allegiance to our King, those who do the will of God, shall abide forever. But while we're here, we are to be a blessing. And I tell you, in America, the United States of America is not going to be forever. Sometimes we think it is, and we're so thankful for it. I am. I'm so thankful for this country. But it's not going to be forever. It isn't. The kingdoms of this world are passing away, and Jesus shall reign. Hallelujah! The Lord God, omnipotent, reign it. There's a kingdom that's going to fill the whole earth. Daniel saw it, and it shall never pass away. It'll take the place of all the earthly kingdoms. All of them are passing away. But while we are here, it makes such a difference what we do, how we take our responsibility before God, and how we, as His people, live in this world. He's called us the light of the world. He's called us the salt of the earth. He's called us to be His kings and priests, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to pray and to shine. It makes a difference that God's people pray. It makes a difference that God's people live before Him and shine for Him and walk in His fear. It makes a difference, a big difference. If my people, those are the ones that God is working in and working through. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will bless the land. God gave that to His Old Testament people. But it does show us that it makes a difference how we live, how we take our place in our country where He has placed us and privileged us to live. And so we thank God. We thank God. Here they were in this Babylon. Now you go to the New Testament. And the people of God were called upon. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, first of all, you pray. He told Timothy how things were to go in the church. And he said, make this primary. First of all, let prayers be offered in the church. Let it be a praying church. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And he said that to Timothy. And one of the things they were to pray for kings, for all that are in authority, pray, pray. Why? Remember why? Tell me why. Okay, that's very good. 1 Timothy 2, right? You have it there. And it has to do with the advancement of His kingdom, with souls coming in, doesn't it? Your God wants people to be saved. He desires salvation for all men, that they might come to the knowledge of the truth. So pray to that end. And pray, pray, give yourselves to prayer. Let there be a climate in our country where the word of the Lord can run and have free course, where, oh Lord, your ministers are free to share the good news, and all your servants are free to witness and to shine. Nothing can stop that, can it? But no temporal earthly power can put out the light of God. But God calls on us to be a blessing for Him. And that's really the important thing when we think of our country and pray for our country. Oh God, bless our leaders. Bless all who are in authority. Bless your people. Oh God, stir them. help them to really help us all. We include ourselves in this. We're not better than anyone else. Help us all to bow low before you. Help us all to live before you, Lord, and be the shining lights, a burning and a shining light. John the Baptist was, and God wants us to shine. The beauty of Jesus, the light of God, to be reflected from our lives so that others might see and glorify God and be drawn to Jesus. There's no hope for the United States unless God's people take their place and live before Him and do His will and pray in the Holy Ghost. And oh, may God touch our hearts on this hour. 232nd anniversary. I think I figured that right. Is it the 232nd year since the Declaration of Independence? That's what we're celebrating today. And oh, how we thank God for our country. Hallelujah. I think we will ask Brother Paul to lead us in prayer for our land. Let's stand and sing that last verse of America. Our fathers, God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Our fathers, God, to thee, pray with our brother Paul as he leads us in prayer.
Lord, we thank you that we are a country under God.
Yes.
Amen. We thank you that we still have the freedom to worship you as we do, Lord. We thank you that we see your hand upon this country, and we are amazed that the cup of your wrath is not yet full when we see what is going on. But we thank you for what we have, Lord. And we pray that you would continue to shine your light upon this country, Lord. We pray that you would bless those in high authority. Come to those in Congress. Come to our judicial system, Lord. And meet the needs of this country through the decisions that are made. Oh God, we know that you are in control. We know that even this upcoming election is in your hands. We pray, O God, that your highest will be done, O God. Help us as a Christian family. Help us as a body of Christ to be united and pleasing you individually, as churches, as a community. Oh God, may we do all to see your will done in this country. We pray for local legislatures and local congressmen and people in authority, that you will have your will done in towns and villages and cities and states.
Yes.
Oh God,
yes,
come
Lord,
to this country, and we trust you to have your full and complete will done.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we ask.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. One more. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Now a song about our heavenly King in light of what we were saying. 423. Let's remain standing as we sing 4, 2, 3. From the village last night after our meeting, that the Lord had come to them in a precious way, given them a wonderful meeting, visited them, spoke to them, and worked a response in hearts. Hallelujah. So thanks to everyone for praying. Sister Mary came by this morning too and said, thank you for praying for us. Lord, we continue to pray for our dear campers. Pray that you'll continue to bless them. Draw their hearts, Lord. Work in each one of them. We believe that you brought them here, that they're here by your appointment. This is your camp, Lord, and you want to bless every one of them and accomplish your purposes in them. So we just want to say thank you, Lord. We know it's your work. These counselors are speaking for you and serving you, but Lord, you must touch the heart. hearts. You are the one who transforms hearts. And so we just pray that your gracious work shall go forward in these days, in the cottage too, Lord. Bless all these dear campers that you've brought to us. Oh, Lord, touch their hearts even today for your great name's sake. Amen. Hallelujah.